ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
In the morning, crack of dawning, now I'm yawning, wipe the cold out my eye, see who's this page of me, and why, it's my nigga Pop from the barbershop, told me he was in the gambling spot, and heard the intricate plot, a niggas wanna stick me like flypaper, neighbor, slow down love, please chill, drop the caper, remember them niggas from the hill up in Brownsville, that you rolled dice with, smoke blunts and got nice with. Yeah, my nigga Fame up in Prospect. Nah, them my niggas, nah, love wouldn't disrespect. I didn't say them, they schooled me to some niggas that you knew from back when you was clocking minor figures. Now they heard you blowing up like nitro, when they wanna stick the knife through your windpipe slow. So, thank Fame for warning me, cause now I'm warning you. I got the Mac, nigga, tell me what you gonna do.
Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my paper.
They heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus with the Texas lights and plates out of state. They heard about the pounds you got down in Georgetown, and they heard you got half Virginia locked down. They even heard about the crib you bought your mom from Florida, the fifth corridor
called the coroner. It's gonna be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts ringing. What you think all the guns is for? All-purpose war, got the Rockwellers by the door, and I feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals trying to drop my decimals. Damn, niggas wanna stick me for my cream, and it ain't a dream, things ain't always what it seems. It's the ones that smoke blunts with ya, see your picture, now they wanna grab their guns and come and get ya. Bet your biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talons loaded in the clip, so I can rip through the ligaments, put the fuckers in the bad predicament where all the foul niggas went. Touch my cheddar, feel my Beretta. Fuck when I'ma hit you with your motherfuckers, better duck. I bring pain, blood stains on what remains of his jacket. He had a gun, he should've packed it, cocked it. Extra clips in my pocket, so I can reload and explode on your asshole. I fuck around and get hardcore. C4 to your door, no beef no more, nigga. Feel the rough, scandalous. The more weed smoke I puff, the more dangerous. I don't give a fuck about you or your weak crew. What you gonna do when Big Papa come for you? I'm not running, nigga, I bust my gun and hold on, I hear somebody coming.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 163 of the report. And of course, y'all know what that was, man. That shit needs no motherfucking introduction. Of course, it was Biggie with Warning off the Ready to Die album, man. Classic shit. Classic shit. I had to let that shit ride, man. There was no way in hell I was going to like cut into that. I had to let that shit ride, man. I was feeling it. I hope y'all was feeling it. And yeah, man, it is what it is. We are here tonight on a Thursday. We've gotten this shit done twice this week. So, woohoo! Yeah, motherfucker. You were supposed to do that anyway, right? Yeah, man, but this is what we're doing, man, tonight here at the Span Report, episode 163. Pocket watching is a disease, man. Yeah, man. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on in the show as to why I believe that. But, of course, before I get started with all of that, I got, of course, let you know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead, hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. Also, You can email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read those emails here live on the show, respond to you here on the show. And also, I am still looking for a possible co-host for the Span Report. So one of the ways in which you can do that is to send me a 1-minute video of you saying why you believe you would probably be a good fit here at the Span Report podcast, man. So go ahead and write that down. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. And yeah, man, get those submissions into me and we can figure out whether or not we're going to add a co-host to the show here, man. Real talk. Also, man, follow your man on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week about a whole lot of different shit. You know, this playoff shit, these finals, man, have been, they've been pretty exciting for you, man. I'm just saying. So yeah, we could go ahead and chop it up that way, man. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook, man. Go ahead and do that. Most of the stuff that I talk about on Twitter and Instagram ends up on that Mr. Span Facebook fan page. So go ahead and do that, like that. Also, man, if you want to watch these shows live, man, I know I should probably mention this more for the people who are watching or listening later. But if you want to catch these shows live, man, here's what you can do. Go to Crowdcast. Get you a Crowdcast account. And go ahead and register with Crowdcast and subscribe to the show. You can watch me do this show live from your phone, your tablet, or from your computer. And the chat room is available on all three platforms, man. So you can go ahead and participate in the chat room, watch this show, participate in the show. Go ahead and sign up with Crowdcast, man, and be a part of this experience that we got going on here at The Span Report Live, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The videos to the podcast are available there. Vote in the polls, leave comments, all of that stuff, man. Donate to the show if you feel so inclined, right? You can go ahead and donate to the show right there at thespanreport.com, man. So do that for all of your Span Report needs, man. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Now, of course, man, like last time we talked, man, I kind of led into this with a little bit of a segue into it, but like we were talking about the NBA finals, man, the playoffs, right? And before these finals started, I kind of talked to you guys about what my attitude was when it came to LeBron James and whether or not LeBron James is the GOAT and what have you. I've been having some really good conversations, man. I've been having some really good conversations. Shout out to Jeremy, shout out to Brian, shout out to Rod. Rod been trolling me a little bit. Shout out to J.O. Covan. Like, just we've been trolling each other. I am probably the only one, though, like, who still considers Jordan the GOAT, right? Out of all the people I just named, I'm probably the only one who still considers Jordan the GOAT. Now, I know I'm not alone in that thinking, but I'm probably the only one amongst this group of friends that thinks, like, Jordan is the GOAT. And, like, it's looking more and more like Jordan will solidify his position as the GOAT. And I say that because, man, look, I don't know no GOATs that's 5-8. I mean, like, 3-8 in the finals, bruh. I don't know none of them. I don't know no GOATs that's like that got that bad of a losing record in the championship rounds, bruh. I just don't. Now, mind you, LeBron is balling the fuck out. It ain't even all it like is no there. It ain't even LeBron's fault. Real talk. His supporting cast is not producing nearly to the degree that they need to go up against this Warriors team, right? But you know what's funny though? Like, like the funny thing, man, I've been noticing too lately when we're talking about, you know, whether or not LeBron James is the GOAT and whatnot, and whether or not, you know, he surpassed Jordan, and with, you know, comparing eras and all this other stuff, man, is that I'm noticing, man, that like as the years go by, that we have some revisionist history when it comes to Michael Jordan and the finals and how the teams that he was facing in those finals, right? So, one of the narratives that I've seen kind of being passed around lately is, well, you know, Magic and the Lakers were old when he played them, man. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, so Magic was old when Jordan and the Bulls finally beat them in the 91 NBA Finals. Magic and the Lakers were old, right? They were hurt, man. They were injured and everything. Meanwhile, Magic Johnson was the MVP the previous season, and he was also averaging damn near triple-double in that finals. Like 19 points, 12 assists, like eight or nine rebounds a game. Then they had like Vlade Divac at center. Now, Vlade Divac, I don't know if anybody would consider him an all-time great, but he was putting like 18-8 up. That's almost 20-10. That's still solid even today. They still had James Worthy putting up 19 a night. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't play in that closeout game where the Bulls went on ahead and finished him off. He didn't play in that game, but yo, my mans was out there putting up points, man. Sam Perkins wasn't no scrub, bruh. Like, and it's funny too, man. Like Sam Perkins and James Worthy were both teammates of Michael Jordan in North Carolina, and suddenly they're playing against Michael Jordan in the finals, and they're old, right? Or better yet, folks talk about the Pistons team. Like, they finally got past the Pistons. When Michael Jordan finally got past the Pistons, they talk about how old the Pistons were. Isaiah Thomas was 29 years old, bruh. 29 years old. When they got swept up out of the playoffs, man. Dennis Rodman was still an up-and-coming player. Like, are we going to pretend that Dennis Rodman was a garbage player when he was out there giving up? He was pretty much doing the same, almost the same things that he was doing with the Bulls when he won three championships with the Bulls, right? He was averaging about 12, 13 rebounds a game. Probably only give him 6 or 7 points a night, but he was locking his man up. Horace Grant was really frustrated playing against Dennis Rodman. You know what I'm saying? Scottie Pippen, he suffered that. Was like he had the previous year they went 7 games and Scottie didn't play that game because of the infamous migraine, right? But all of a sudden, the Pistons were old when the Bulls were playing them. Never mind that the Bulls were playing them and they were the defending like NBA champions. The Pistons at that time were the two-time defending NBA champions. Now, we don't say that about the Pistons beating the Lakers. You know, playing an old team, they finally beat the Lakers. We don't say that about the Lakers. I mean, hell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played his last season that year. He retired that year. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't say that about the Lakers when the Pistons finally beat them. We don't say anything about Magic Johnson pulling his hamstring and that kind of helped facilitate. Now you got old-ass Kareem and you got Magic Johnson out and the Pistons sweep. We don't talk about that. We don't denigrate the Pistons' ability to beat the team that made it all the way to the fucking NBA Finals, right? Suddenly, Clyde Drexler ain't shit. Suddenly, like, Kevin Duckworth ain't shit. The Blazers wasn't shit. Suddenly, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf ain't shit. Suddenly, Karl Malone and John Stockton ain't shit. Everybody the Bulls played wasn't shit no more, right? They were old. They were past their prime. All of that shit, man. Meanwhile, these old and past their prime motherfuckers was consistently making it to the playoffs, consistently making it to the championship round. But, you know, the Bulls were beating them when they were old. I get it. Another thing, too, like, and I'm leading up to this. Like, with LeBron James, as much as I like LeBron James, the excuses made for LeBron James after a certain point start to get a little bit ridiculous, right? So now, in order to keep this argument going that LeBron James is the GOAT, we now have to elevate all the teams that he's beaten or the teams that he's lost to. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's considering the San Antonio Spurs, the team that beat him when he was in Miami. They're considering that team an all-time great team. Now, mind you, they had some greats on that team. Tim Duncan is an all-time great, probably the best power forward to ever play this game. Manu Ginobili, all-time great. Tony Parker, all-time great, but I'm going to tell you, the last time that they played the San Antonio Spurs in the finals, it was Kawhi Leonard, bruh. Kawhi Leonard walked away with that finals MVP. It wasn't Tony Parker. It wasn't Tim Duncan. It wasn't Manu Ginobili. It was Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was an MVP candidate this year, right? Nobody wants to talk about, you know, the fact that Dirk Nowitzki. Right, Dirk Nowitzki should be one of those players that we look back on and say, well, yeah, he would have won a championship had he not run into LeBron James. But we know that he beat LeBron James in the finals, man. Like, that was a championship that the Miami Heat should have won. There's no way in hell the Dallas Mavericks should have beaten them that year. Now, I'll give you guys this, man. LeBron had no business playing the Spurs the first time he was in the NBA Finals when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he willed that team to the finals. That was an all-time great performance. And it's one of the reasons why I think LeBron James, at the end of his career, could possibly pass Michael Jordan. But, again, like, you know, at this point, we got to stop making, like, the excuse now is LeBron is the GOAT, but we have to justify LeBron losing so many finals. So in order for us to justify LeBron losing so many finals appearances, we have to now elevate these other teams and say, well, this is the greatest team ever assembled. This is the greatest team we've ever seen. Suddenly, like, as good as Golden State is, and Golden State is a great team, do not get me wrong, they won 73 games last season. They added Kevin Durant this season to make them even more lethal. But all of, like, they're the, like, suddenly, they're the greatest team we've ever seen. As if we never saw, like, you know, and I know this is an NBA competition, but as if we never saw the Dream Team, as if we never saw Magic, and we never saw Clyde Drexler, and we never saw Jordan, and we never saw Patrick Ewing all playing together on one team and dominating a sport. Right? Now, I posed this question earlier today. I was like, yo, like, of the current crop of NBA greats, how many of those greats do you think we'll go back and say, they could have won a championship had they not had to face LeBron James? Like, they came up in the wrong era. Like, they, if it hadn't have been for the LeBron James era, they would have won a championship. I saw Paul George's name come up a bit. I'm kind of iffy on that one. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, when the Pacers, outside of one year, when the Pacers had a legitimate shot at the NBA championship, had they not run into LeBron James. I think it was that one time. They had that one year. Now, also with the Bulls, I remember I did say, was that Derrick Rose, when Derrick Rose won the MVP in those epic Bulls-Miami Heat series, where Derrick Rose wasn't able to get that team over the hump. Some folks have said Carmelo Anthony. But the thing is, I don't think the Knicks have ever really had a championship. Like, I don't think they've ever had any kind of, like, championship aspirations, or better yet, like, any legitimate shot at it since he's been with the Knicks, right? Like, I don't think the Knicks have ever really had a shot at it since he's been there. I can't say for sure if he's even played LeBron in the playoffs as a member of the Knicks, right? So as I saw his name kind of thrown out there as well. I would say that the list isn't that long, though, for LeBron as far as, you know, the contemporaries that he's played against, where if they hadn't had this LeBron James thing going on, they probably would have won an NBA championship. So, you know, I think about Jordan when he kept, like, you think about the players that did not win a championship because they came up in the wrong time, like Karl Malone and John Stockton. Probably should have won an NBA championship had they not faced Michael Jordan. Sean Kemp never won an NBA championship. He only got to the finals at one time, but never had another opportunity to do that. Ran up against the Bulls in 96. You think about Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley had his one shot, ran up against the Bulls in 93. Never won an NBA championship. Patrick Ewing never won an NBA championship. He came close in 94 when Mike was gone, right? And they finally got past the Bulls in 95 with that bullshit Hubert Davis foul call. They finally got past the Bulls, but never won an NBA championship. Reggie Miller is another one. Never won an NBA championship. Came up in the wrong time. Never won an NBA championship. Had it not been for Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning never would have won an NBA championship. Dikembe Mutombo is another one. Never won an NBA championship coming up with the Hawks. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys, man, a lot of NBA greats who, because of the era that they came in, playing against Michael Jordan, who had a direct effect on whether or not those guys won championships or not. And it's not that big a list when it comes to LeBron James, right? And I like LeBron. Like, the overarching thing with this is, like, look, I like LeBron. LeBron is great. LeBron is the greatest player of his generation. He just ain't better than Mike, man. He just not better than Mike. So, yeah, man. I hope it don't get swept, because goats don't get swept, right? Oh, man, I'm trolling. I am trolling, man. I'm just saying this. Hey, Jeremy, I'll be in New Orleans for the Red Dress Run in August and for my anniversary. I just need you to have my huge ass beer ready for me when I get down there, bro. I stay thirsty, and I will want that huge ass beer in the hourglass cup. Go ahead and hook that up for your boy, man. Real talk. How you doing, Stephanie? All right, so now we got that out the way. Some finals talk out the way. I think they play a game tomorrow. Bill Cosby is in the news again. Now, the reason why Bill Cosby is in the news is because his trial started earlier this week. And I'll say this, man, like, you know, because for a while there, man, like, Bill Cosby was real heavy. Like, the news coming out about Bill Cosby was real heavy with the amount of women who were coming out saying that he had assaulted them. And the defense of Bill Cosby, I think, well, I was taken aback by, considering all of the, I guess you could say, circumstantial evidence against Bill Cosby and some of the ways in which we look at rape and rape culture and whatever else. And, like, I know I spent a lot of time talking about protecting our, you know, protecting our daughters and protecting the women in our families and whatnot, and the ways in which we kind of condone certain actions that men make when it comes to women, and blaming women a lot of times when they find themselves in situations that can lead to something like this, right? We blame women a lot of times for the actions of men, right? And so Bill Cosby is on trial. The memes that you've seen about Bill Cosby being not guilty are not true yet. And the reason that I say yet is because, as much as I believe that Bill Cosby did this, I also believe that Bill Cosby will not be convicted of this. And the reason why I don't believe that Bill Cosby will be convicted of what he did, or what he's alleged to have done, is because of the fact that Bill Cosby is who he is, right? Let's not make no mistake about it. Bill Cosby has a large contingent of support around this country. There are people, Bill Cosby is known around this country. There is not a person or a jury in the world who does not have a preconceived notion of who Bill Cosby is, right? Nobody in this nation can tell you that they don't know who Bill Cosby is. And not only that, man, like, The general attitude that we have, and the apathy that we have when it comes to women and when they present allegations of rape or sexual assault, a lot of times, man, the allegations are for them to prove and for their credibility to be questioned at all, like to be torn down, right? Everybody, the first thing they have to do is try to tear down the credibility of these people. So I don't believe that Bill Cosby will be convicted. I believe he should be, but I don't believe he will. And so there's that. Now, another thing too, man, like, I find this, I thought this was a little, like, funny. Like, Keisha Knight Pulliam, who played Rudy on the Cosby Show, she showed up the first day of his trial in a show of support. And, you know, basically, she spoke with the media, man. She talked about whether or not, you know, it is now in the jury's hand, and it's up for them to determine whether or not he's guilty or innocent. This is, you know, the things that he's been accused of is not consistent with the man that I've grown to know and all these other things, man. And I get it to a certain degree, man. Like, you know, like, that girl grew up, I'm sorry, that woman grew up with that man as a very influential person in her life, right? Like, some of her formative years, he was around. Like, she was raised up under Bill Cosby. Her family and she herself made a lot of money with Bill Cosby. And so for them, like with his daughters, like with his family, you there's a certain level of loyalty that you can come to expect from certain people. And it is not a surprise to see Keisha Knight Pulliam, you know, stepping out in support of Bill Cosby, right? It's disappointing, but it's not surprising. Joe Torre and actor, what's this guy's name? Louis Dix also showed up the second day to support Bill Cosby in this trial. Now, you know, the thing that I also find funny, man, is, you know, Bill Cosby is an actor. Bill Cosby is a comedian. I am finding it I'm just finding it funny, man, how Bill Cosby was out here doing motherfucking comedy shows, man. He was out here on tour, bruh. Like, before, even in the midst of when this shit was going down, Bill Cosby was still out here doing shows, man, doing his comedy shit, everything. Now that he's in the spotlight for this, and because he's in trouble for this, man, Bill Cosby can't see shit. Bill Cosby couldn't shoot the broadside of a barn if he was standing right next to it. Let him tell it. Bill Cosby out there with the blind stick and everything, man. Bill Cosby got people walking him. He had arm in arm with everybody, man. He need people to show him around. Bill Cosby like, yo, man, I'm legally blind, bro. I can't see shit. I can't rape him if I can't see him, right? That's how it's coming across, man. It's weird as shit to watch this dude like become all of a sudden Bill Cosby is this frail ass old man who can't see, who can't keep for him, you know, who can't tend to himself. He has to have constant assistance when he was just out on tour a year ago, even while this shit was going on. So, I mean, yeah, man, that shit's weird. Bill Cosby is going to trial and that's starting this week. So yeah, that's going on. Another thing too, man, that kind of happened that I wanted to kind of speak to, Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness was being sued here in Michigan. There was a case here in Michigan where a woman by the name of, let me see if I can pull this up. Let me see if I got it here. Planet Fitness, where are you? Where is it? It's here somewhere. Here we go. Planet Fitness. Okay, so this woman's name is Yvette Cormier. And Yvette Cormier sued Planet Fitness because she was in the locker room and there was a transgender person in the locker room with her and she was uncomfortable with that. So I'm reading this out of clickondetroit.com and it says the Michigan Appeals Court has ruled in favor of a Midland, Michigan Planet Fitness in a lawsuit filed by a woman who said her rights were violated when she encountered a transgender person in the locker room. The court found no evidence of sexual harassment, noting that Yvette Cormier and the man who identifies as a woman were both wearing clothes at Planet Fitness. Cormier's membership was terminated a week after the 2015 incident after she returned to the gym and warned other women. Planet Fitness told her that it allows people to use a locker room that matches their identity as part of a no judgment policy. In a 3-0 decision Thursday, the court said that there was nothing illegal about the club yanking Cormier's membership. Now, one of the things I'm wondering what rights were violated or what rights that Cormier thought were being violated. Whether is it her privacy? Now, if it was her privacy, you're in a public locker room, you're in there with people you may not necessarily know, and someone you may not know can walk in at any length at any given time. Now, I get it where she's trying to make the distinction. Well, those people would be women, but the person that you're in this locker room with is identifying as a woman. This person you're in the locker room with wasn't accosting you in any way. This person who you were in the locker room with was probably minding their own fucking business. Right? And if you're worried about your privacy in the locker room, how then can you not also think that this person who's also in this locker room with you doesn't also want their privacy respected? Especially as something as sensitive as this issue, right? So you believe that your privacy is being, you know, maybe your privacy is being violated or whatever, and it's a violation of your rights. What about the rights of this person in the locker room with you? What about their right to privacy? What about their right to not be publicized as being transgender and everybody know who they are and people, you know, point out, well, that's the person right there, yada, yada, yada. They didn't need you going up to the fucking gym and saying, yeah, this is person right here. This is a man. And y'all need to be careful when y'all go to the bathroom or y'all go to the locker room with this person because that's a man. And that person has absolutely nothing to do with you. They haven't accosted you in any way. They haven't said anything to you. You making it your life mission to make their life hell? Come on, man. So it's a good thing, man. It's a celebration for, you know, I mean, it's a good thing to see that the appeals court was like, yo, man, this is some bullshit, and tossed it, man, 3-0. And Yvette Cormier got, you know, her comeuppance, man. Like, leave people the fuck alone. At the end of the day, man, leave people the fuck alone. I don't understand why, you know, people get so uptight about this shit. And people do get really uptight about this shit. Earlier this week, man, like there in Detroit, they raised, it's Pride Month, right? So earlier this week, they raised a rainbow flag. I believe it was in Hart Plaza. Hart Plaza is like a big park in downtown Detroit. And folks were in their fucking feelings about it. Like, there should be no flag up there except the United States of America's flag. And how do you take a United States flag down and put a gay flag up? Do we have a straight pride flag? Why don't we have a straight pride flag? And all this other shit. And it's like, dude, what are y'all so pissed off about? It's a flag is up for the month. And they're allowing the LGBTQ community in this area to celebrate openly. And y'all upset about it? Like, y'all all up in arms, like, your world is coming crashing down. You ain't got shit else to be mad about. That's another thing, too, man. Like, this affects you not in the least. It affects you none. There's a celebration going on downtown during the summer all the time. There's a rock festival down there. There's a jazz fest that goes down there. There's a country music fest that goes on down there. And those people go down there, they enjoy it, they have a good time, they go home. And those who don't fuck with it or those who don't like it, they don't go down and they don't fucking enjoy it. And they stay their asses at home. And then when some shit goes on that you like, you can take your ass down there and enjoy it and love it. Why can't they? Why can't they? So, yeah, man. Fuck Yvette Cormier, and congratulations to that Michigan Planet Fitness man, and for the person with whom was being harassed at that Planet Fitness because of this woman, man. I'm pretty sure they're happy about the results of this case here, man. So that's all good news, man. Real talk. Another lawsuit that's been going on here in Michigan, man, which is a bit interesting. Little Caesars is being sued, man. Now, of course, Little Caesars is based here in Michigan, right in downtown Detroit. Your man used to work for Little Caesars at one point. And the reason that they're being sued is because they are accused of selling pork to Muslim customers. Now, a lot of with Michigan, especially Dearborn, the Detroit area, we have a large Arab Muslim population. The largest in the nation is right here in Southeast Michigan, right? And when they order like pizzas from like Little Caesars or Papa John's, a lot of these places offer halal meats. Halal meats are like, as I understand it, is pretty much the way in which the meat is butchered and way in which it is prayed over. And it's like somewhat of the equivalent. I don't want to fuck this up, but like the equivalent of like how kosher meat is done, right? Like there's, you know, how Jewish people do kosher meat and Muslims do halal meats. And so they ask for halal meats on their pizza, whether that be the sausage or the pepperonis or whatever, right? But apparently some people have been getting pork on their pizza. They've been getting pork pepperonis on their pizza. So I'm going to read this story. This here, again, is also from clickondetroit.com. And it says a second lawsuit has been filed against Detroit-based pizza giant Little Caesars, accusing a store in Dearborn of selling mislabeled non-halal pizzas to Muslims. One plaintiff, Michelle Mead, claims that her husband ordered a pizza with halal pepperoni from the location on Schaefer Road, but were wrongly given a pizza with pepperoni, pork pepperoni. Halal is the Muslim equivalent of Judaism's kosher, and requires that meat be prepared according to Islamic guidelines, such as reciting a prayer while the animal is killed. Halal pepperoni is typically made with beef. The plaintiffs and class members have relied on the representation of the meat that the defendant sold was in fact halal, and plaintiffs and other class members have never had to second guess what they were buying and what they were receiving was in fact halal, the lawsuit reads. Mead said that she was waiting for her husband, Muhammad Bazi, to bring home a large pizza with halal pepperoni that he had ordered from the Dearborn location on March 30th. The pizza box Bazi received was allegedly labeled Large Custom Pizza Halal. The two claimed that they became sick when they realized that they were eating the pork pepperoni, which is forbidden in Islam. Now, one of the interesting things about this is that the reaction that I saw to this story earlier in the week was a little bit crass, right? It was a little bit off-putting. It's like, of course, like we live in a very polarized time. We live in a time where, like, you know, Trump is occupying the White House and people are very antagonistic towards Muslims. People are very antagonistic towards brown people. And so, like, the reaction to this was they just looking for money. Right. They just looking for money. Now, it's a class action lawsuit, which means this money gets dispersed to quite a few people. Like, it's not like they getting all this bread themselves. And a lot of times the lawyers end up taking a lion's share of that money. But the reaction to this was like, it was weird, man. So it's like, all they want is this money, yada, yada, yada. If they don't want to eat pepperonis, if they don't want pork pepperonis, then maybe they should go, like, make their pizzas at home and all this other stuff. And then it kind of made me think, man, like, yo, like, we don't do this for anybody else. We don't do this, man. Like, when people get their orders fucked up, like, if somebody gets their order fucked up at a restaurant, man, people are rightfully upset. They go, like, yo, I can complain. I can, I can, like, yo, I need my money back. Y'all gonna get my money back or whatever, or y'all gonna fix this. Something's gotta happen to rectify the situation. When people get sick from, say, for instance, Chipotle was out here. People were getting sick eating off Chipotle. Yo, they opened themselves up for lawsuits with that. Nobody was giving anybody shit about, you know, the Chipotle. Like, they're like, yo, yeah, man, Chipotle was out here fucking up, right? Bluebell ice cream was being taken off of the shelves, man. People was mad about it, right? Bluebell ice cream taken off of the shelves, and it was because the shit could have the potential to make you sick, right? So those people who don't eat pork can have a violent physical reaction to having that in their system. People who don't eat pork, Muslims in particular, it's against their religion to eat that meat, right? Like, a lot of Christians, real talk, like, if you follow the Levitical law, you're not supposed to be eating the pork either, but right. Right. Y'all doing that shit, right? So like, if a Muslim goes to a Little Caesars or whatever, and they're getting what they believe to be halal meats, and what they get is beef, or what they get is pork, and it makes them sick, and they also have a legitimate reason to believe that other Muslims may have been getting sick from eating this, then Little Caesars has opened themselves up for a lawsuit, and Little Caesars has been making people sick, and Little Caesars probably should rectify this situation. They'll probably settle, right? But the attitude that folks have when it's brown people, man, when it's religious minorities, when it's, you know, like the reactions that you get, man, is like they're crass as shit. They're crass as hell, man. And like I said, for all of the people who talk about religious freedom in the United States, man, that shit only goes one way. They only want religious freedom for those who would ascribe themselves to be Christians, right? It's only supposed to be that. When they say "in God we trust" on the money, they thinking you talking about the God that says Jesus Christ is his son. Right? And many of them don't follow the teachings of Christ, but they will purport themselves to be Christians. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. Like, I sit back and I watch this shit, man. It's like, man, that's racist, that's Islamophobic, that's classist. It's so many different things, man. You just sit back and just look at it like, yeah, that's fucked up, and that's fucked up too, and that's fucked up. Sometimes I feel like I should just call this show, yo, that's fucked up. Right? Because we talk about a lot of fucked up shit here on the show, man. We point out a lot of fucked up shit and try to make people think about it. But yeah, man, Little Caesars out here getting the folks sick, man. I hope they get their bread. Real talk, I hope they get their bread, man. Now, let's see. Let me take a swig, man. I'm thirsty. Jeremy, I ain't forgot about you. I want my beer, bro. Now, another thing that's going on, man, dress codes. There's a bar in Chicago that has been in the news as of late, man. This was as late as the 31st of May. It's a place called the Bottled Blonde on the north side of Chicago. And they were being, they've been on the news about their dress code, man. Now, I'm going to read from some of this dress code, because this dress code is quite fucking detailed and is quite lengthy. But let me go ahead and read this. It says, the Bottled Blonde will maintain a classy atmosphere and reserves the right to refuse service to anyone. A high standard of dress is required at all times. Dress code is on a case-by-case basis, basically meaning, yo, we can pick and choose when we gonna apply this shit, right? And it's at the sole discretion of the door staff. In all instances, the door staff's decision is final. If denied entry, changing your appearance will not change the decision. Right? So even if you go home, change your shit, like, you know what? I still want to patronize this business. Let me go and follow the instructions of said doorman. They still saying, fuck you. No, you might not. You still might not get in, right? The following list of our guidelines and are subject to change at any time without notice, right? So, no bad attitudes or behavior, right? Because, you know, no one wants to go to a bar and have people with bad attitudes and bad behavior, man. We're all here to have a good time, right? Sounds pretty motherfucking innocuous. But then it says, no excessively baggy, sagging, ripped, dirty, frayed, overly flashy, or bright clothing. What's overly flashy? If I come in there with a Versace shirt, like, I can't get in because it's overly flashy? I can't get in with like a baggy sagging, like I can't get in with my pants sagging. I don't really like sagging pants either, but I couldn't get in with that. Dirty clothes. Yeah, nobody wants dirty clothes. Or bright clothing. What's considered bright? Who makes that decision? The doorman? Very motherfucking arbitrary. It says no matching colors of shoes, hats, and or shirts. So I can't coordinate my shit? I can't coordinate, nigga? Like, if I got, like, some fly gear, nigga, like, hold up. You mean to tell me I can't put my look together? So I can't be overly flashy. I can't be that. But I also can't be coordinated. I can't put my look together. And it's at the sole discretion of the doorman. No Hawaiian, tie-dye, floral, skull prints, or anything else obnoxious. What if it's tastefully done? Right? What if it's tastefully done? No gang attire, leather cuts, colors, or insignias, and no camouflage. Now, colors, right? No gang colors. Gang colors are blue. Gang colors are red. Gang colors are black. Gang colors are brown. Gang colors can be orange. Gang colors can be any motherfucking color of the rainbow. You could pull out a color out of your coloring book or your coloring box, get your crayons out, and it could be a gang color in there. So you're telling me I can't be overly flashy. I can't be coordinated in my look. I can't wear certain colors. I can't have gang attire because you affiliate this stuff with gang attire. No embellishments or statement jackets or shirts or beanies or hats. So if I'm in a college fraternity, I can't wear any of my college gear. Right? No rude, vulgar, or offensive clothing. Nah, I can understand that. That sounds, I don't think anybody could really object to that one. But you lace, like you surround it in all this obnoxious bullshit. No skateboards, hoverboards, or animals. Not really. Come on, man. Y'all got to say that. Y'all really got to say that. Now, some other things that are going on this list. Like I said, this is pretty fucking detailed. It says no plain white tees, long tees, denim, flannel. Not even around the waist. Or zippers on shirts. No cutoff shirts. Deep V-necks. Undershirts. Or mesh shirts. Tank tops before 6 p.m. only. Right? No sports jerseys except during games and of the appropriate team. Who's the fucking appropriate team? Now, this is Chicago. Is it only, like, is it only Chicago teams get to wear this shit? Or it's on the north side, so only Cubs fans get to wear their shit in there? Like, if I'm from the south side and I want to go to a game where, like, say, for instance, the Cubs and the White Sox are playing, and I come up there and me and my friends, we going to have some drinks and shit while we watching the game or whatever, and I'm a Sox fan, I can't walk in here with my Sox shit on because I'm on the north side and y'all only accept Cubs shit? Right? No tap out, no Ed Hardy of fiction or MMA brands. Like, what does that even mean? Like, why is that even an issue? Let's see. No shirling, no fur, no leather, no jean jackets, short sleeve hoodies or overly long hoodies. No puffer, quilted jackets or vests, no novelty sweaters, no hoodies underneath shirts or jackets. Shoes. No Jordans, Nike Air Max, or Air Force Ones. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, that's directly targeted at your boy. I love me some J's. I love me some Air Max. I don't really fuck with Air Force Ones all like that, but them shit's all right sometimes. They know who, like, and this is in Chicago. You mean to tell me I can't walk some J's in Chicago in the bar? And I can't be coordinated. And I can't wear certain colors. And I can't, like, it's, this is crazy. It says no high tops, no high socks or athletic sneakers. Chucks and Vans are allowed. Now, this is what caught my eye right here, right? I've never been to this establishment. Never been. But it harkens me back. And I think I may have talked to you guys about this on a previous episode where I was going to Bar Louie's in Novi, Michigan, right? And we were celebrating a friend of mine's, his wife's birthday. We were coming from bowling. We all went bowling. We were drinking and stuff while we were bowling. And we decided, you know what? We're going to go to Bar Louie's. So we go to Bar Louie's and like the doorman's looking at us. He looks dead at me. I got some Jordans on my feet. He says, you can't get in here with the Jordans, right? And I've had a few in me, right? So I'm like, why? You know, what's up with that? He says, we don't allow gym shoes in our establishment at Bar Louie's, right? So I'm like, eh. I was cool with that until I seen this cat walk in there, well, walk out with some Vans on, right? He had on Vans. And his girl was with him. She had on no shoes at all. And she wasn't carrying her shoes either, right? She wasn't carrying any shoes. She didn't have any shoes on, but she's walking out of this establishment. You mean to tell me this woman can walk around here bare fucking foot, but you're not going to let me in because I got on Jordans, man? And a lot of these, like the clothing styles, the baseball caps, the long tees, you know, the white tees and the jackets and the you can't wear the sports teams and all these other things. That's gang wear, all these things. Like a lot of these types of dress codes are targeted towards a certain group of people, black people. This shit might as well say no niggas allowed. It ought to say no niggas allowed. And it's one of those things where, like, yo, you can put it in all this innocuous language and you can make it sound as vague as possible. But this is one of those instances where a black person sees this and they know what's up. And then white people look at that and be like, I don't know what the problem is. What are you talking about? I can't wear my head hardy. I mean, come on. Right? They don't see it as it being a racist policy. Because by and large, they aren't really affected by it. Not only that, it's on a case-by-case basis. That doorman decides whether or not what you got on is cool enough for the night. Now, I might be wearing the exact same shit Trevor's wearing, but Trevor's getting in and I'm not. Because the doorman decides who gets in and who gets out. Now, it's a private business, and they have the right to refuse service to anyone. And I would go on and just say, look, after that, I would just say, fuck it. Y'all not good enough for my money. And I'll never go back again. Like, I have no qualms whatsoever as to saying, yo, fuck you. I don't need this shit. I do that regularly, man. Like, I was in a fucking a liquor store buying some shit, and they were like, yo, man, you supposed to spend, like, $20 on if you're going to use your debit card, or we're going to have to charge you an extra 75 cents. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I left all that shit on the damn counter. I'm not giving you extra money to use my card. That's against your cardholder agreement anyway. So, yeah, man, like they in the news for this shit as well they should be, man. Hats must be worn at all times. No stickers or tags. I think I still got stickers on this hat right here on the underbrim. Yeah, I do. But like it, like really, what the fuck does it? Yeah, it's racist, man. It's racist. Yeah, man. But we've come up on some of our segments here. And we got Blue Blazes coming up.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right. Now, today in What in Blue Blazes, man, we got this story of a nurse. This woman goes by the name of Elizabeth Tracy May Wetlaufer. It's a law. Let's hold on. Elizabeth Tracy May Wetlaufer. Right? Elizabeth Tracy May Wetlaufer is a serial killer, and she's a serial killer in nursing homes, man. Now, she's admitted to killing at least 8 people living in assisted living facilities in Canada. I want to say, what part of Canada is this? Does it say? It doesn't say. But Wetlaufer is 49, and she told an interrogator that she was angry with life. In a video she played during one of her one day on a, during in a video played during her one day trial Thursday, she said she knew the difference between right and wrong, but she said she would get a red surgeon with God telling me this is the one. Right now, she had let's see how many victims. She had 8 victims. Victims: James Silcox was 84, Maurice Granite 84, Gladys Miller 87, Helen Matheson 95. Mary Zoransky, 96, Helen Young, 90, and Maureen Pickering, 79, were residents of Carescent Care Nursing Center and Retirement Home in Woodstock, where Wetlaufer worked. Now, I bring this story up, one, because it's a very fucked up story, man. I mean, like, for someone who you would think someone in a position to care for someone else's loved one, to take it upon themselves to say, like, yo, It's time for you to get up out of here, bro. Like, you got to get on up out of here. We're going to send you to the maker. That's fucked up. And not only that, man, it's like, I've said this on the show before, man. Be nice to your kids. Like, for real. Like, on some real shit. Like, be nice to your kids. Because your kids are the ones who are going to determine whether or not when you are of a certain age and maybe not able to necessarily take care of yourself in the ways in which you are now, that you may end up in a facility like this. And if you piss your kids off, you may end up going to someplace like this and, like, it'll be, like, called Shady Pines. And your nurse would be called, like, Jasonia Voorhees or some shit like that. And you ain't coming home, bro. You gonna check in, but you ain't gonna check out. Be nice to your kids is the message that I'm giving y'all with this. Now, and the reason why I say that is because this woman decided that she was gonna take all these people out because she deemed them to be mean. Right? They were all mean. And not only that, she believes that she was told by God to do this. Like, I think there's video associated with this. Let me see if I can pull this video up. Let's see. Let me check this out. All right. Where is the video? Oh, there isn't a video. I'll be damned. Okay. I thought there was a video. Wait, there it is. Jesus Christ, man.
A former nurse from Canada confessing to being a serial killer, murdering multiple elderly people in her care. Some of them said she killed because they were mean. On Thursday, Elizabeth Wetlaufer pleaded guilty to killing 8 people between the ages of 75 and 96. It happened while she was working at 2 senior care facilities in Ontario, Canada, between 2007 and 2014. She said she used lethal doses of insulin to murder them. In a newly released confession video, Wetlaufer says she believes some of the victims were chosen by God. Wetlaufer will be sentenced later this month. She could face life in prison.
All right. So, yeah, that happened. That happened. Be nice to your kids, man. Be nice to your kids. You don't want to go to Shady Pines. You do not want to go to Shady Pines. You don't want to meet Jasonia Voorhees, man. Be nice to your kids. Real talk. Now, we're at the reason why we're here tonight. Like, pocket watching, right? And there's a few reasons why I wanted to talk about this. As a matter of fact, I've been kind of harping on this over the course of the last week or so. We talk about class, talking about, you know, finances, talking about race, talking about poverty. I've been noticing, and I'm sure that, like, of course, it happens all the time. We have these conversations all the time. It's not the first time that I've noticed it, but it was, like, kind of sticking in my craw this week. I saw an article about the minimum wage being raised in Chicago, right? Of course, you guys know I'm from Chicago. Chicago is home for me. And I saw some friends of mine from Chicago kind of putting down the notion of minimum wage being raised in Chicago, right? And I'm wondering, like, because I know these people, like, why they're acting like they don't know that the minimum wage should be, like considering where we come from, like, you would think that they would be on board with minimum wage being raised. Like, we all came up from, like, some pretty hard beginnings and shit like that. We all weren't rich. We all didn't have the best of everything and nothing like that. We came up in some pretty harsh conditions. And, like, it's odd to me to see people who came from that and who have been able to kind of elevate themselves a bit, who've been able to kind of like escape some of the pitfalls of the neighborhoods and the pitfalls of just living in Chicago or even just living in Detroit, like some of the pitfalls of living in the hood and being able to escape that and be productive members of society, to like kind of look at that now as if we're better than that and as if those people down there don't deserve more. And that shit's been irking me lately, right? So, where is this story? Because it ties into what I'm talking about. I might be able to find it on my phone. Just a second, folks. Where is my phone? Did I save it? Pardon me, people. I hate doing this live. Like looking for things live. A lot of times I feel like I should have it already pulled up. At least I thought I had it pulled up. Okay, I don't. I don't have it saved here. But basically, it was a story about Seattle. And Seattle has risen the minimum wage in their city. And it's been that way for at least a year now. And the minimum wage in Seattle has not caused a massive increase in the prices of goods and services in their city whatsoever after a year of having this in place, right? Because one of the things that people always say is like, yo, man, like if you raise the minimum wage, the prices of everything will go up, man. Like fast food workers should only make about $9 to $10 an hour, man. Like they don't go to school to do that. That job requires no skill. Fire departments and like firefighters and paramedics is like teachers who don't make as much money as $15 an hour. Because really, we were talking about like whether or not people should even get $15 an hour and everything else. And I kind of put it up like this, man. Like, you know, honestly, if the minimum wage had kept up with the rate of inflation, the minimum wage would already be over $20 an hour, right? But the reason why it isn't over $20 an hour now is because the people accept that only certain jobs should make a certain amount of money. It's a lot of people right now who should be making $20 an hour right now who won't be making $20 an hour right now because they've accepted that their job is only worth $14.35 an hour. It's a whole lot of people right now who've accepted that, or better yet, they'll never see the $20 an hour that they're worth because they don't believe that the people who are asking for $15 are worth that $15. Right? They don't believe like people should live or be able to live off of the work that they produce. They don't believe that. They think that because they have this perception, like even with like minimum wage or like say for instance fast food jobs, like the perception is like yes, a kid's job. I've seen people say that a lot, and like it was a time where I thought this too. You know, I'm not immune to this. But like I said on the previous episode, man, with better information, you are allowed to change your mind, right? You don't have to be lockstep in that. If you come into some better information, then you can change your opinion on that based on the information that you have. People have this perception of minimum wage jobs, or better yet, fast food jobs, only being children's jobs or kids' jobs. The perception is that that is a starter job. Right. Meanwhile, these same people seem to think that miners are going to be mining the drive-through window at 3 o'clock in the morning when they go to get their damn double whopper with cheese. Right. Ain't no miners in there working. Ain't no kids in there working at 3 o'clock in the morning when you get the munchies at the end of the night. When you wake up in the morning and you go to McDonald's and you get that sausage, egg and cheese McGriddle at 6 in the morning. Ain't no kids working in there. Them adults up in there, man. And them adults probably got kids at home. And them adults are working a job they probably don't want to fucking work, but they got to do it. Because this is what's available to them right now. And I saw so many people saying that, you know, these people are only worth so much. Like these jobs are only worth so much. Never mind the millions of dollars that the CEOs are bringing in. Like, if the CEO, like a lot of these companies, man, like the CEOs of McDonald's and the CEOs of like a lot of these fast food conglomerates bringing home $20 million a year. Like, if they took like a 10% pay cut in an effort to raise the wages of the rest of the workers who are out there on the front lines, making sure that they get the profits that they get, it could be feasible. The top 1% getting all this money. I sound like Bernie Sanders, right? We have this idea that people are only worth so much. That the minimum wage should, these people are only worth this little bitty money that, like, they shouldn't be able to live off of their work. They should go into school. And a lot of it is, I went to school. I went to school. I went and bedded myself so I don't have to be in a position to where I'm only making $10 an hour. I'm making $20 an hour now. Do you know that even at your $20 an hour, that your ass could also be underpaid? You think you're better than them because they're asking for 15? Like, that's the thing, like, that's been pissing me off lately. It's like, yo, you got a whole lot of people out here who got more, who are mad at people who want more, and they still not asking for as much as what you got. They just want a little bit more. They don't even want what you got. They just want a little bit more. And you got more than they are, and you pissed at them. Not the people that got more than you and are underpaying you too. Like, people don't, like, they don't see it. They don't see it. And it's been kind of, like, sticking with me all this week, man. I'm like, yo, man, like, I just don't get that, right? But another thing, too, man, another thing, you know, with this whole thing, man, like, it isn't just that. There was a story, came out, Kendrick Lamar buys his sister a Toyota Camry or some sort of Toyota. I don't even know what kind of Toyota it was. I just know it was 2017. Brand new motherfucking car. Right? Brand new car for graduating from high school. Bravo. Bravo. Great gift. Great gift. You know, motherfuckers had something to say about that. Motherfuckers had something to say about that. Yo, man. Yo, Kendrick Lamar worth about $18 million, bro. Like, all he—that's all she got. Was a Toyota? That's all he got. Like, man, he couldn't. He's got like a Jag, man. Like, couldn't got like no Bentley, man. Like, yo, he worth $18 million, bro. Like, he could have splurged a little bit on little sis, man. She graduated from high school, man. Like, one, it ain't your money. It's not your money. Two, she seemed very happy with the car that she got from her big brother for graduating from high school. Three, the only reason that you think that that girl should be getting a Lamborghini or a Bentley or a maybe even a Tesla. Only reason you think that she should get that is because her brother is a well-known rapper. Never mind how he handles his money. Never mind how he feels, you know, she should be able to handle that. Or better yet, like, why would a 17-year-old need a Bentley? Or an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old? Why would she need that? She's, like, is she going to college, what, to ride around college with the Bentley? Who is that for? Is it for you? Is it for her? She was happy with the Toyota that she got. Happy with that. That's what she should be. A lot of us have never had a brand new motherfucking car. A lot of us are walking around and driving around in hand-me-down rides, man. A lot of us have gone and got us a nice little whip to get us from point A to point B. And we wash that motherfucker, keep it clean. We put rims on them motherfuckers, keep them clean. We put sounds in them bitches and keep them bumping. And we happy with that. But it's a problem for Kendrick Lamar to give his sister a brand new Toyota for graduating high school. It's a problem for folks. It's interesting, like, the ways in which we watch folks' pockets, right? I say pocket watching is a motherfucking disease, man, and it need to stop. Took a couple doses of mind your fucking business, but clear a lot of this shit up. A lot of it would be cleared up if people just minded their own business about other folks' money. Right? Now, juxtapose that with another story that came out earlier this week, right? So, it's prom season, right? And, you know, I spoke about this a few weeks ago, man. Like, I was talking about how, like, you know, man, when I went to prom, man, yo, I got my tux or whatever, and I got my Ford Explorer that my grandma had borrowed, you know, had rented for me. And me and my date, we went out to the town or whatever, and we did prom the way teenagers do prom, right? And that was it. Prom has become, or the send-off of prom has become a whole hell of a lot more elaborate nowadays, man. It started off with, like, I remember a couple years ago, it might have been just last year, young lady who came out to Formation, and she had like her friends, like they were doing choreography from the music video and stuff, and she came out and it was like a big thing, right? And like now it's a lot more elaborate, man. People are going out there buying, like, or they're renting a lot of exotic and foreign cars, man. They're going to get custom made clothes and very expensive, you know, shoes and whatever else, right? And I've been saying, and I said this before when I talked about this last time, like, yo, this is the generation of parents that grew up with hip hop, man. Like, we, the bling bling era, we grew up like that. Like, these are the kids of the bling bling era kids. Living out their music video dreams. And what did I say at the time when I said it, when I talked about it then? Hey, man, do your thing. Have fun. Right? Now, I bring this up because there was a story about this kid. Goes to prom, very lavish prom. He's from North Philadelphia. His send off was like crazy, right? Like he had, let's see. Matter of fact, let me read this story. This story comes out of what's this? BillyPenn.com. I don't know who Billy Penn is, but okay. But in this story, it says Saudia Schuler went all out for her son with a 25 with. Went all out with her son with $25,000 worth of Dubai-themed sets. Okay, so as the story goes, it says Saudia Schuler was planning to gift her son a trip to Dubai for high school graduation, but then she had another idea. I figured, why not take everyone to Dubai? She said, seated at a table outside Country Cooking, her soul food restaurant on 22nd Street and Swamp Poodle. Now, it says her restaurant, right? This lady owns a business. Her restaurant. Let them see what this is supposed to look like, she says. Why not indeed? Hundreds turned out for the Dubai to Philly themed prom send-off she organized for her son, Johnny J.J. Eaton. The event that took over the 3400 block of Clearfield on Friday is now going viral on social media. Schuler had a custom mural commission. She brought in 3 tons of sand. She rented a camel from a farm in Ohio. For a week straight, friends and family worked into the wee hours each night, helped prep the scene. Her crew created 3 separate Dubai-inspired sets. Eaton had a Lamborghini, a Range Rover, and a Rolls Royce for the evening. And he had 3 different dates, all wearing their own custom dresses. Eaton himself made costume changes until he was wearing his 3rd ensemble for the night, selected with the help of a stylist. Right? Now, it says, she said, I just wanted to do something that no one had ever seen before. Prom send-offs in recent years have grown far beyond crudite and few awkwardly posed photos. Social media has exposed some pretty elaborate setups, like this one from 2016, where dancers perform choreography from Beyonce's Formation, but Shula's got everyone beat. On Fridays during prom season, it's easy to find homes decorated for family receptions. I feel like this with this generation, one prom going to teen told us in May, everything has to be red carpet, everything. And yup, a prom send-offs in Philly, there's often actual red carpet. Also, plenty of big balloon displays, especially arch ones for pre-event portraits. Limos aren't in style as foreign cars are, especially bright sports cars with suicide doors. Maybe they mean gold wing doors, because suicide doors flare out. They don't go up. Then when the kids head off to the big dance, friends and relatives stay hanging out almost like a family celebratory cookout. Now, mind you, they talked about all the things that she got him. You got the Rolls Royce, the Range Rover, and the Lamborghini, the 3 tons of sand, the camel, the dresses for his girl, for his dates, all of these things, right? So the discussion started becoming about, people in the hood spending a lot of money on going to prom, right? Like, they spending all this money on going to prom. They ain't got no life insurance. They spending all this money on going to prom. He got a 1.4 grade point average. They spending all this money on going to prom. They ain't got no college funds set up for him, right? And one of the things that I was starting to see was there was a lot of classism involved in this. A lot of people, a lot of middle class black folk, kind of talking out of the side of their neck about this sort of thing, and not even seeing the classism in it, even when you point out the classism involved, right? I had a woman that I was kind of going back and forth with on this particular issue during the week, she's talking about how we're talking about how basically these kids are coming up in impoverished areas, and the focus shouldn't necessarily just be on the prom. It should be on it should be on much grander scale things, supposedly, right? So like, they're focusing on this, what about college funds? That money could have been spent elsewhere. That money could have been spent towards like getting him some investments. That money could have been set towards a trust fund, all these things. Like, people are coming up with all these different ways that these people can spend their money. Now, mind you, just with this here, no one actually talked about this woman owning her own business, right? This woman was actually able to save. She saved $200. She saved $200 a day, I think, for 2 years in order to save up for this day. But one of the things that was interesting about this story was that the reason why she decided to go all out on this was because she was nearly on her deathbed not too long ago, and she didn't think that she would see her son graduate high school. And she promised herself that if she made it to see her son graduate from high school, that she would go out all out for his prom. And that's exactly what the fuck she did. That's exactly what she did. But I'm listening to black folks lecture, like what they would deem lower class black people, on how to spend their money, right? Now, as someone who was broke at one point, like on my knuckles, like I was so broke, in fact, that my gas was shut off in my house, that I had no hot water. I was boiling my hot water I was basically warming my water up in the microwave, and then I got a hot plate and I was able to boil my water to a degree, and I was washing my ass out of that. That kind of broke. For someone like that, like to go from that, and like, I remember one of the main things that I hated, one of the biggest things that I hated coming up was unsolicited financial advice. I hate for motherfuckers to tell me how to spend my money. I hate for people to like watch what it is that I'm doing with my money, especially when I'm not asking you for help on a motherfucking thing. And this is the thing that I think a lot of folks tend to miss. Unsolicited advice usually comes from fucking judgmental places, and that's why it's very seldom well received. A lot of times when you get some unsolicited advice, a lot of times it's coming from somebody who's judging the fuck out of you. And they don't want to be called a judge, though. That's another thing too. They don't want to be called a judge. They'll cloak it in, I'm concerned for you. Now, that's not to say that everybody does that. That's not to say that everybody who gives you unsolicited advice isn't concerned, and that they're not coming from a judgmental place, but a lot of it is. A lot of it is. And then when you start delving into the conversations with people about the reasons why they're concerned, and it starts all going back to classism. It goes all back into that, right? So I'm having a conversation with this woman, and you know, she's talking about, yo, well, I said, well, you know, y'all assuming that this woman doesn't have a college fund for her son. Y'all are assuming that he doesn't have any scholarships to even go to college. The boy got good grades. Yeah, I think they said he had a 3.8 grade point average. The boy got good grades. What makes you think he didn't get any scholarships to go to school? What makes you think that he doesn't have a trust fund set up somewhere simply because his mother decided to spend almost $25,000 on prom? The only thing we know about his mom is that she spent almost $25,000 on prom. We don't know anything about whether or not all her bills are paid. We don't know anything about whether or not she's in debt to anyone. We don't know any of that. And so you start, like, all of a sudden, these, you know, some of these anecdotal stories start coming up. Well, you know, I know people who spent like $5,000 on prom, but then they was asking me the very next month to help them pay their rent that month. They should have taken that money and applied it to their rent instead of balling all out on that prom. I know people who was spending all this money on prom, and then they got to bury their son the next month, and they got to come up with a GoFundMe account to help bury him because they ain't had no life insurance. Like, all of these judgmental observations, these anecdotal stories, and then on top of that, like, as I said before, if someone's coming to you for help, right? Because the only, like, the only financial advice I would ever, like, kind of take kindly to was the financial advice that I was asking for. Like, if I decided I wanted to go out and I bought something, like, and that was another thing. I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. But one of the things that I thought was weird was, like, none of these people ever considered, like, these, like, they never considered whether or not somebody went out and made a large purchase, and whether or not, like, even if they couldn't necessarily afford it, none of these people gave those folks the benefit of the doubt to say or to think that when they made the decision to make that purchase, that they also made the decision with, I might have to sit my ass down for a little while because my money gonna be tight. Like, they did, like, these people never consider these things in their evaluations when they make purchases. Excuse me. As if lower class, supposedly, people don't make these sorts of decisions or don't make these sort of calculations. Y'all know how fucking expensive it is to be poor? It's expensive as fuck, bruh. If you want a cell phone, you're not going to get one on credit. A lot of times, you can't walk up to a Verizon store, a T-Mobile, or a Sprint, or anybody, or AT&T. They're not about to give you no post-paid plan. You got to pay for your phone up front. You go to a Metro PCS store, you got to pay for your phone up front. That might be $200-$300 for the phone. Now you can get your phone and pay $30, $40 a month for the phone, but you can't get it on some, you know, you're not walking in there and getting no iPhone 7 and you not paying off the note. If you get that, you're going to pay a grip. You're going to pay up front. When you go get your check cash, because a lot of times when you're having financial difficulties, your credit tends to suffer, right? And when your credit tends to suffer, you might miss a bill because, not because you didn't want to pay it, because you didn't have the money to pay it and you pay it late, and then your credit starts to suffer. And guess what? You go to get a checking account and you can't get a checking account. Why? Because your checking account is, getting a checking account is contingent upon you having a certain credit score, right? So now you can't get the checking account. You got to get you a Green Dot card. You got to get you a Rush card. You got to go into the check cashing joint, and then the check cashing joint is going to take money out of your check in order for you to get to your money. You start trying to pay your bills at the check cashing joint. Guess what? There's a fee for that too. It costs money to be poor. And when I see what people deem poor folks spending a lot of money, or for one night, deciding, like, yo, man, I don't need to be reminded that I don't have a lot. I'm going to enjoy myself tonight. I'm going to do something special for my kids tonight. My kid did a good thing. My kid went out and graduated high school. They have met the requirements at this step. Now, they may go further. They may not. But for tonight, we are going to celebrate this accomplishment, and I'm going to do something that I probably wouldn't do, and I'm probably going to have to sit my ass down. I'm probably going to be broke for a little minute because of what I'm going to do tonight. But damn it, I don't want to be fucking reminded that I'm poor tonight. And a lot of times what a lot of middle-class black folks do is, well, no, you shouldn't do that. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Your ass is poor. You shouldn't do that. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Because people hate Even if it was those middle class black folks who love to tell black people and remember to tell black people and make sure that they know that they're poor, they hate when somebody get their asses some financial advice, right? This woman that I was talking to earlier in the week about this, who had the attitude that, you know, they shouldn't be spending all this money on prom, that prom really isn't that important and all these other things, couldn't wait to tell me that she drove an Audi. Couldn't wait to tell me that she owned her own home. Couldn't wait to tell me these things. Now, if I decided to say, well, you know, that Audi was probably a bad investment, you know, it's depreciating as soon as you take that bitch off the lot. It's depreciating right now. And it does the exact same thing a Chevy would do. Would you appreciate that unsolicited advice, financial advice coming from a stranger who doesn't fucking know you really? Doesn't know your situation? Doesn't know whether or not all your bills are paid? Doesn't know whether or not you're financing the car, like if you're leasing it or if you're buying it? Whether you have a car note on that car at all? Would you accept that unsolicited financial advice? No, you'd be like, hey man, that ain't none of your business. Shut the fuck up. The same thing applies here. The same thing applies here. A lot of classism, man. A lot of assumptions being made. I'll tell you a story, man. Like, I remember one time, like, it's weird when we talk about these assumptions. I had to shut off the utilities of a woman. Lived in a $1 million home, man, right off the water, right? Electric and gas bill in excess of over $10,000, right? This woman drives a Mercedes-Benz, lives on the water, and has a $1 million home. You would not have thought, or you wouldn't have assumed, just looking at this woman, looking at her home, and looking at her car, that she was in any financial straits. Like, she was having any problems paying anything. You'd have thought everything was on the up and up. And here she was, $10,000 in arrears, and I'm standing on her front porch about to cut off her shit. Cut the lights and the electricity and the gas. Cut it all. Right? I've also been in neighborhoods where the homes don't look like shit on the outside, man. Like, they in the neighborhood, they in the hood. It's not exactly the best neighborhood in the world. Their homes don't really look like a hell of a lot on the outside, but damn it, when you get inside, that shit look just as good as a lot of these houses that were in some of those more affluent areas. They took care of their shit on the inside. They were smart. Like, yo, man, keep these motherfuckers from even thinking about coming over here. They took care of their shit. Now, the assumption would be made that because their house looked like shit on the outside, and if you didn't, you know, they drove like a Charger or something like that, you wouldn't have thought that, like, you know, like, you would, the assumption would be made that they probably need some help over there. Never mind that all their bills probably paid. And they got a whole lot of the amenities that some of these larger, more affluent homes, or the people who own some of those more affluent homes have, they probably got it in their house too. But the assumption is made that because people are from a certain area, that they aren't worthy of certain things, that they aren't capable of certain things, that they aren't allowed to have certain things. And it was pissing me off, man. Like, I was literally, like, floored by the amount of, like, the amount of classism that I was being seen raised in these discussions. People going out of their way to give unsolicited financial advice to poor people and cloaking it in concern for the community. It was troubling to me, man. Like, because like, folks aren't seeing it. And maybe some of these folks do have legitimate concerns for the community. But when it turns into, well, I don't need financial advice. If somebody was to see me in my Audi, in my bag, then they wouldn't assume that I need emergency financial advice. They would look at me and see that I'm pretty much on my shit. That don't mean a goddamn thing. They would assume that you own your shit, just like you assuming that these other people ain't on theirs when they very well could be. I was just disheartened, man. Like, this whole thing about, like class, man. And like, really, like, shit. I said this earlier in the week, man. If you follow me on like Facebook or Twitter, I said this earlier in the week. Sometimes I feel a little isolated, right? And I say that because like sometimes it's like with my family and with friends, like you see things and you express it to them. Like you express it to them. Like you see things and you express it to them and they don't see it. They don't understand what it is you're talking about. They think you're going crazy because they don't see what you see, even when you point it out to them. So like even during this conversation, man, like I'm having in with one of my boys and like a lot of his friends, like even in this conversation, of course, you point out some of the classist shit that's being said and nobody thinks they're classist, almost like nobody thinks they're racist, right? Nobody thinks they're classist. And they think by virtue of saying that they aren't classist, that therefore makes them not classist. So then you have to present them with wait a minute. Well, so if you observe a racist motherfucker doing something racist, and then he tells you what he's doing isn't racist, even though you know racism when you see it, does that therefore mean it's not racist because they said so? No, that's not how that works, man. That is not how that works. So when I say pocket watching is a disease and people need to mind their business, I'm not saying that you can't help those who are seeking the assistance. I'm asking you to seek those people out. Seek the people out who are asking for the assistance, the people who want that advice from you, the people who know that you have their better interest in mind. But for the people who just want to wag a finger, the people who just want to shit on those whom they think they're better than, fuck you. I can't say it any clearer than that. Fuck you. Right? So yeah, man. That's it. That's all I got tonight. That's all I got, man. But I got to get out of here. But of course, before I go, gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead, hit me up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com, man. Send me those co-host submissions, man. 1-minute videos stating why you think you should be able or you would be able to be a good fit over here at the Span Report, man. Go ahead and email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. It'd be greatly appreciated. Also, follow your man on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's there, man. The polls are there. The videos are there. You can leave comments. You can donate to the show if you feel so inclined, man. Also, before I go, man, 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher are very much appreciated here. It's your way of putting on, man. It helps the show grow, man. So I really appreciate it if you guys go ahead and do that. And if you want to watch these shows live, man, go ahead, sign up for Crowdcast, register on Crowdcast, and you can catch these shows live on your phone, on your tablet, on your computers, man, pretty much everywhere. And you can participate. You can be a live part of this show, man. Real talk. I have got to get out of here. But, yeah, man, I should see you guys Sunday. I anticipate seeing you guys Sunday. But until next time, fam, peace.